House come to order. Would the members please register their presence by voting? Has any member failed to register their presence, clerk may take the quorum.
Thirty-five present, five absent.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, no one's excused from the call of the House today. I'll move that any absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
No objections, so ordered. Please rise for prayer. Captain Herbert Miller, Salvation Army.
Our Father, we do come to thee again today. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all that you have given to us. We pray that thou will just ever keep us mindful for where our strength comes from. That thou will just strengthen each one. Even though in times of adversity and times of troubles and yes, even times of laughter, that we can say, yes, you are our strength. We ask for guidance and help today in all that will be brought before this body, that thou will just give strength and wisdom and understanding. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clerk, please certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 106th day.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 106th day.
No objections, so ordered.
Mr. Miller. Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease.
House will stand at ease. House come to order. This brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests to be introduced to the House? Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I have a very good friend in Gallery B, formerly of Fairbanks, now living in Anchorage, Nettie Paradovich.
Does the clerk have messages from the governor? Clerk have messages from the other house.
Excuse me. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 484, Abandoned Motor Vehicles, thus adopting House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 484. This bill has been signed and returned to the Senate. The Senate has failed to pass House Bill number 672, amended, changing the name of the head of Legislative Affairs Agency from Executive Director to Administrator, and it is returned herewith. This bill will be permanently filed. The Senate has failed to pass committee substitute for House Bill number 606, amended, appointments to vacancies in office of United States Senator, and it's returned herewith. This bill will be permanently filed. The Senate has passed House Bill number 898, amended, relating to toilet facilities with the following amendment. Page 1, lines 21 and 22, delete in operation on the effective date of this act. And so House Bill number 898, amended by the Senate, is transmitted herewith for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith. Senate Bill number 534, amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to powers and organization to cope with natural and man-made disasters and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill number 501 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to exemptions from the securities registration statutes, administrative hearings.
Commerce and Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have general communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had Senate Bill 529, amended, relating to property tax exemptions, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 529, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, O.C., Hackney, Ostrowski, Kelly, Freeman, and Rudd. Senate Bill 529, amended, has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 661, amended, relating to guiding activity, under consideration, and four of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Swanson, Smith, Hirschberger, and Huntington. Anderson has no recommendation. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 661, amended, has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 639, which had been taken from the calendar and referred to Judiciary, under consideration. It's relating to security for the collection of wages. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 639, Judiciary, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Brown, Cotton, and Specking. House Bill 639 has no further referral. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 920, relating to the legislative appropriation process, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, signing do pass, Parker and Naughton. Having no recommendation, Miller, Specking, and Cotton. House Bill 920 appears on today's calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 136 by the Rules Committee?
It's been withdrawn.
It's been withdrawn. It'll be reintroduced a little bit later on today, as soon as it's corrected.
Oh, this was honoring Eleanor L. Sullivan.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
That's referred to rules.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes, sir.
That is a memorial resolution. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that it be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
There no objection. The resolution be brought before us at this time. Will the clerk read the resolution?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 136 by the Rules Committee, honoring Eleanor L. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask that it be read.
Would the clerk read the resolution?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 136, honoring Eleanor L. Sullivan. Be it resolved by the Legislature of the State of Alaska. Whereas the death of Eleanor L. Sullivan of Anchorage this past week represents a loss to that community and the state of a highly esteemed activist in business and community affairs, and whereas Ms. Sullivan came to Alaska in 1950 with a background in banking and for 25 years was with the First National Bank of Anchorage, serving at the time of her death as an assistant vice president in the areas of advertising, marketing, and community affairs. And whereas during her quarter of a century in Anchorage, Eleanor Sullivan distinguished herself not only in the banking business, but as a tireless and effective civic booster, particularly in connection with the Anchorage Concert Association, the Alaska Festival of Music, the Seroptimist Club, the Business and Professional Women's Club, Greater Anchorage Incorporated, the Catholic Daughters of America, and numerous other activities. And whereas her business and community service very early and most effectively demonstrated that a woman could play a vital role in the business world and civic enterprise and merit the esteem and affection of her associates and fellow citizens, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that the family of Eleanor L. Sullivan is herewith advised of the special regard and appreciation with which the people of Alaska salute the memory of their sister, who merits the description of the poet Halleck, "None knew thee but to love thee, nor named thee but to praise." Copies of this resolution shall be sent to her sisters, Helen Pappas, Genevieve Markert, Mary Sullivan, Geraldine DeMuth, Dorothy Reuter, and Mrs. Russell Smith, and her brothers John Sylvester and Donald Sullivan.
Resolutions before you for discussion. Is there any discussion? The question is, shall the resolution pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Let the record show the resolution is passed unanimously. Clerk, have other resolutions for introduction?
No, Mr. Speaker. Oh, yes. House Joint Resolution 71 by the Rules Committee, relating to Western Airlines' application to the Civil Aeronautics Board to resume service to Southeast Alaska.
Rules.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have bills for introduction.
House Bill Number 922 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Sir, we referred to Education and Finance.
House Bill Number 923 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to per diem and travel allowances for members of the State Physical Therapy Board and the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associates.
HESS Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to the daily calendar. The clerk read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 586. By the Finance Committee. An act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of state, no, excuse me, by Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finances had House Bill 586 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 586 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Cooper, Greening, Naughton, Itta, Duncan, Buchholz, and Guy. Mr. Haugen has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
That objection, Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the first amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Specking. Page 34, line 35.
House stand at these for a moment.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, there are a number of amendments, and to make it easier for everybody to deal with them, I'm going to move in a second for a 10-minute recess so that all the amendments can be duplicated and placed on the members' desks. I'll now move and ask unanimous consent that this body stand in recess.
Did you wish the floor in the meantime?
Maybe this motion would be in order after the recess, and I'll wait.
Mr. Speaker, I'll renew my motion that we stand in recess to the call of the chair.
That objection would recess the call of the chair. House come to order. We have adopted the committee substitute. We are in second reading. Mr. Parr, were you seeking the floor?
Mr. Speaker, we revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have a young friend and constituent. Unfortunately, he belongs to the wrong political party, but we can't be perfect. A former president of the student body at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks and now chairman of the Fairbanks Rent Review Board. And he's also doing work on something that's a great concern to many of us, which is fire prevention, especially in rural areas. Mr. Chip Wagner.
We are at the point for amendments. Does the clerk have amendments?
Amendment number one by Specking, H. Byrne, M. Byrne, Hirschberger, Road, Eliason, Hackney, Urien, and Haugen. Page 34, line 35. Change 100.0 to 200.0. Change totals accordingly.
Mr. Specking. Mr. Specking. Question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member? We'll waive the roll call. See if you do any better the second time, Mr. Speckett. Question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll. Excuse me.
Mr.
Maybe that's an ode of things to come. Mr. Malone.
Speaker, do we need a brief at each?
Actually, we'll have to take the roll call over because we've disturbed the roll call. We'll do it again. The question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Ten yeas, 29 nays, one excused.
Amendment number one is passed. It failed. Beginning of a bad day. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number two by Mr. Eliason. Page 33, line 22. The sum of $4,500,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Public Works as the state share for the Chena River Control Project.
Mr. Eliason.
Speaker, I move and ask manner of consent that amendment number two be adopted.
Objections noted.
Mr. Speaker, just briefly, that this evidently is a priority item of the Fairbanks delegation. I see the speaker's names on an original appropriation bill, and we'd like to do our part.
Mr. Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate Mr. Eliason's concern. However, we did follow the legislative process, and this is a bond item, and I don't think as a member of the Fairbanks delegation I could vote for this because it is subject to perhaps a line item veto by the governor.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall amendment number two pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Naughton, do you wish to change your vote?
No, I don't. I just want to point out that Representative Fisher's vote is not registering.
Representative Fisher. Clerk may take the roll.
Ten yeas, 29 nays, one excused.
Amendment fails. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number three by Mr. Eliason. Page 33, line 22. The sum of $120,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Public Works to provide fire equipment for Delta Junction in the form of a tanker truck and an addition to the firehouse to accommodate it.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number three be adopted.
Objections noted.
Mr. Speaker, inasmuch as the revenues from the states was derived from the rural areas, I think that we should put some of this money back into at least public safety in Mr. Swanson district.
Question is, shall amendment number three pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excused.
Amendment number three has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number four by Mr. Eliason. Page 30, line 22. The sum of $2,400,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Dillingham City School District for constructing and equipping a new gym facility and for remodeling the old gym area into classrooms, offices, and work areas.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number four be adopted.
Objection.
Mr. Speaker, this again is an effort to put some of the funds in the rural areas, especially Bristol Bay, which has been hard hit in recent years by, you know, the lack of fish. I think that in as much as the oil money comes from rural areas, we should put some of it back in these areas.
Question is, shall amendment number 4 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 28 nays, one excused.
Amendment number 4 has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Eliason. Page 30, line 25. The sum of $5 million is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Education to be used for the construction and equipping of swimming pools in the schools at King Cove, Unalaska, Sandpoint, and St. Paul Island.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 5 be adopted.
Objections noted. Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, this is an appropriation to Representative Osterbeck's district. I think that, once again, I think we should put some of these Alaska's monies into the rural areas where we got it originally.
Question is, shall amendment number 5 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 29 nays, two excused.
Amendment number 5 has failed. Mr. Eliason?
Mr. Speaker, this reminds me of the story where a person was asked why he played in this card game when they had a stacked deck, and he said it was the only game in town. But at this particular time, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent my further amendments be withdrawn.
Without objection, Mr. Eliason's further amendments will be withdrawn. Notice that some Democrats were voting with you, Mr. Eliason. Mr. Miller?
Speaker, I'm disappointed. I have been keeping a little bit of track here. Mr. Eliason's amendment so far would have added $12 million to the state budget, and I was kind of hoping he was going to go for 25.
This brings us to the amendment number 12. For the record, it may be the convenience of the members, rather than renumbering amendments, it would be easier to simply to declare amendment number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 withdrawn, and we'll continue with the 11 withdrawn, continue with the designated amendment number 12 as their number.
Amendment number 12 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 37, Capitol Building, New State Capitol, $25 million.
Mr. Urien.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Okay. Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, as we all know, the voters of the state of Alaska very soundly voted to move the Capitol. And there's many questions as to bond issues forthcoming, how it's going to be rejected, and therefore thwart the will of the people. And I think it's time that we show the people that we're with them all the way and give them a little money for the Capitol building, wherever it may be.
Further discussion? Question is, shall amendment number 12 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excused.
Amendment number 12 has failed.
Amendment number 13 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, between lines 22 and 23, insert Harbor Facilities, Whittier, $57,000.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this in most part is a attempt to put back in the budget an item that was deleted by the Finance Committee. I'm certainly sorry to see it happen. The Port of Whittier is a very favored place for the boaters and people in my district and all the South Central District. The money's $50,000 was for to build some additional harbor boat facilities for small boats, and I threw in a little bit more money because the lift that's used in Whittier to put the boats in and out of the water is inoperative, hasn't been working now for some months, and the people there, people from my district who have boats in the water, are unable to remove them from the water, and therefore it's causing great damage to their equipment. And I would certainly urge that you adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall amendment number 13 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excused.
Amendment number 13 has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 14 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, between lines 22 and 23, insert refuge float southeast, $60,000.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this too is an attempt to put back in the budget something that was removed by the Finance Committee, regretfully so. These are for the construction of small floats in the southeast, and one in Frederick Sound, one in Icy Straits, and one in the Stevens Passage area. These floats would be used by sport fishermen and commercial fishermen alike, where they could get in out of the weather and tie up, and I think it's certainly an important thing for the safety of our boaters in southeastern Alaska, and I urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall amendment number 14 be passed in the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excused.
Clerk, read the next amendment. Amendment fails.
Amendment number 15 by Mr. Urien. Page 30, between lines 25 and 26, insert acquisition for museum collection, Juneau, $25,000.
Mr. Urien.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this money is to be used for the acquisition of various relics and antiques, sort of Alaskana, things that come along every once in a while. And a lot of them are one of a time type chance you get to purchase it. And I'm somewhat reminded of when the legislature failed to purchase the Pullen collection. Therefore, the state of Alaska lost a tremendous asset. And there is a little bit of a balance in the account, but I frankly think that any monies we spent in this direction is a tremendous investment in the future, and I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall amendment number 15 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excused.
Amendment number 15 has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 16 by Mr. Urien. Page 30, between lines 32 and 33, insert U of A building, safety and use improvements, Fairbanks, $300,000.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this $300,000 would be used to make various improvements to our buildings at the campus in Fairbanks. There are some wiring that needs to be replaced. Some things that are just old and dilapidated, and certainly for the safety of the students at the university, I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall Amendment Number 16 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may take the roll. Any member wish to change their vote, clerk may take the roll.
Eight yeas, 31 nays, one excuse.
Amendment Number 16 has failed.
Amendment Number 17 by Mr. Urien. Page 31, between lines 4 and 5, insert Palmer Pioneer's Home, exterior painting, $17,300.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this money would be used to paint the Pioneer's Home in Palmer. It is in a state where painting is necessary to preserve the investment. And certainly our old-timers have the right to end out their years in a facility that's a reasonable appearance. And I urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall Amendment Number 17 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Ten yeas, 29 nays, one excuse.
Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 18 by Mr. Urien. Page 32, between lines 8 and 9, insert Chilkoot Weir Edition, Southeast, $63,600.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this money would be used to construct a weir to, which would be used to collect sockeye salmon escapement data with the depleting resource in the southeast area. I think it would be very important that we do this, and I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Mr. Nutt.
I just want to briefly point out that this was withdrawn by the governor because the weir was already built this spring.
Question is, shall Amendment Number 18 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote, clerk may take the roll.
Five yeas, 34 nays, one excuse.
Amendment Number 18 has failed.
Amendment Number 19 by Mr. Urien. Page 35, between lines 23 and 24, insert heat transfer reduction shields, Juno, $85,000.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted, Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this money would be used to provide drapes and things like that in the Capitol complex, and it would save a lot of money on the fuel costs, and certainly in these times of increased costs for fuel and surcharges and things like that. We should do whatever we can to conserve energy, and I urge you to adopt the amendment.
The question is, shall Amendment Number 19 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 30 nays, one excuse.
Amendment Number 19 fails. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 20 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 9. Delete Kenai Court and Office Building Improvements, $104,000.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection.
Objections noted.
Mr. Speaker, my amendments from this point on take the turn the other way. Attempt to reduce some of our expenses. The Kenai Court Building is a very nice complex, as Mr. Malone can tell you, that we built recently, and to add another $104,000 this time, I think it's a little bit premature. We have other places to spend our money, and I urge the adoption of the amendment.
Question is, amendment number 20 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote. Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Six yeas, 34 nays.
Amendment number 20 has failed.
Amendment number 21 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 8. Delete Barrel Court Building construction, $1,500,000.
Mr. Urien.
Move and ask unanimous consent to adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, here again, I think this is an appropriation that's in excess of what our current needs are in the area. We've seen the problems we get into. Some of our buildings up north, the tremendous cost of maintenance, and we end up making some terrible appropriations later on down the road, and I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, amendment number 21 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Six yeas, 34 nays.
Amendment fails. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 22 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 4. Delete correctional institution, barrel, $900,000.
Mr. Urien.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Here again, Mr. Speaker, I think this money could best be used if we built the correctional institution somewhere else. I suppose somewhere down the line we'll be appropriating money to give a contract it out to someone else to manage our correctional institution in Barrow, because it's the cost of the state is excessive, and I just urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, amendment number 22 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 31 nays.
Amendment number 22 has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 23 by Urien. Page 32, line 33. Delete armory roof repair, Juneau, $50,000.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, the armory, which is across the street from where I live here in town, seems to be holding water. I look at it every day when I come up to the state office building. It was just $50,000. It was $17,000 of it that I had intended to paint the Pioneer home with. I thought the old-timers needed it more than the weekend warriors, but I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, so amendment number 23 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Five yeas, 35 nays.
Amendment number 23 fails. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 24 by Urien. Page 35, line 30. Delete model school at Brown's Court, $225,000.
Mr. Urien?
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this type of needless expense is one that the people in my district just won't stand for. We in Anchorage build schools, pay taxes, and things like this. This, I think, has gone too far. It's a pork project that just shouldn't be in the budget. I urge to adopt the amendment.
Question?
Mr. Speaker, all I wanted to say, if I'm recognized, is the people in my district will put up with it just fine.
Question is, Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, evidently Mr. Bradley comes from a richer, wealthier district than I do. My people.
Question is, amendment number 24 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote, clerk may take the roll.
Eight yeas, 32 nays.
Number 24 has failed. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 25 by Mr. Eliason. Page 18, line 23. The sum of $125,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Fish and Game for the purpose of preparing a commercial seaweed resource assessment study for southeastern Alaska.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number
25.
I ran out of fingers. Be adopted.
Objections noted.
Mr. Speaker, there was some concern expressed by the majority leader here that I was trying to pump this budget up. I don't forget how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I might say that evidently he's also has these designs. This is taken from House Bill number 69, which is sponsored by the majority leader and was co-sponsored by all the delegation in southeastern Alaska. I think it's something that's needed, and I think we should support this amendment.
Question is, amendment number 25 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote, clerk may take the roll.
Eight yeas, 32 nays.
Amendment number 25 has failed. Clerk, read amendment number 26.
I have no further. Amendment number 26 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 32. The sum of $750,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Public Works for distribution to the city of Unalaska to supplement 1974 port facility bond funds for the construction of port facilities.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objections noted. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, this is my attempt to help out my friend Mr. Osterbeck and acquiring some money for much-needed port facilities in his district, and I urge you to adopt the amendment.
Question is, amendment number 26 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may close the roll.
Nine yeas, 31 nays.
Amendment number 27 has failed to pass the House. Excuse me, is that 26 or 27?
That was 26.
26 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, read amendment number 27.
Amendment number 27 by Mr. Urien. Page 33, line 22. The sum of $500,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Department of Public Works for the acquisition, construction, and equipping of a senior citizen nutrition and recreation facility in Fairbanks to be operated and administered by the North Star Council on Aging, Incorporated, under contract with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection is noted.
Mr. Speaker, this is my attempt to help out my friends, Mr. Parr, Mr. Bradner, and Mr. Brown et al. I've introduced a little bill to help out the senior citizens in their area, and I certainly hope that we adopt the amendment.
Question is from Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to say I really do appreciate Mr. Urien's concern. I hope if that bill, that money comes up in some other form on the floor, he'll vote for it.
Question is, shall amendment number 27 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 31 nays.
Amendment number 27 is failed. Clerk read number 28.
Amendment number 28 by Mr. Urien. Page 17, between lines 34 and 35, insert predator control, 10,000.
Oh.
Mr. Urien.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Mr. Urien, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, it was brought to my attention that we failed to put some money into the predator control program. This money is used in several districts in the southeast to pay wolf bounties, and I think we should appropriate the money for the trappers that are out there in the field that now at this time of the year bringing in their wolves, and with no money there to pay them, I think we should adopt the amendment.
Thought maybe this was latch string predators. Question is, shall number 28 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 31 nays.
Number 29.
Amendment number 29 by Mr. Eliason. Page 13, line 28. The sum of $45,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Greater Anchorage Area Borough to operate a pilot program of spaying and neutering cats and dogs to be conducted by the borough's animal shelter.
Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 29 be adopted. Evidently, Mr. Speaker, this particular item is a high priority in the Anchorage area. Representative McKinnon put this bill in last year, and I'd like to support it.
Question is, shall amendment number 29 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member wish to change his vote? Or if any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 29 nays.
Amendment number 29 is failed. Clerk, have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller, excuse me, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, if it's the end of the silly season, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 586 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
No objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 586 advanced to second and third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, read the bill for the third and final time. The House is advanced for the bill, Mr. Urien, but we may be at ease. House stand at ease. House come back to order. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 920, committee substitute for House Bill number 920 by the Finance Committee. Where am I? Excuse me. Committee substitute for House Bill number 586 by the Finance Committee, an act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date.
Bill is now before you for general discussion and debate. Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I just have one question about this Brown School experimental program. What are we trying to do here? Are we going to build a school for a certain amount, or what is the program? Or it's a pilot program.
Somebody may respond. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I too would like a response to that question. You know, I may be able to use it in my campaign this next year.
Any member is free to respond. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we delayed this budget for 3 days so that we had all the experts from the legislative finance people and everything in there to explain all these questions. It's kind of late for...
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps the courtesy response is appropriate. The attempt there is that we're going to try to see if the school can be built to the minimum per square foot cost. Approach being used on this by the Department of Public Works would be to design a model school with a minimum square foot cost. Hopefully, that would be another area to stay in. Might say the Finance Committee, considering this is not regarded as a work item, but it's a pilot project.
Mr. Urien.
Can we know what that minimum per square foot figure is?
Mr. Swanson.
Mr. Speaker, for those members of this body who wish to see a model school that's been built, they should go to Pelican. They built one there a couple years ago for $49 a square foot.
Any other member? Mr. Speckett.
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease?
House will be at ease. House, come back to order. Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, one more comment, if I may. And that is that I know, and we've all noted that the media has been quick to make comparisons over budgeting the government versus what we have for us at this point. And the point that I'd like to make is that obviously the real number lurks in the completion of the action on the various bills that are money bills that we yet have no real idea what it's going to amount to. And I think it should be pointed out that any of those comparisons are like comparing coals and chinooks for size or something of that nature, because they're really not a fair comparison. And obviously the total figure on the budget document unreal, has no validity for any charity value except on an item by item individual basis of what the governor has committed. And I just wanted to make note of that. Thank you.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent return to second reading for purpose of specific amendment.
Yeah.
Clerk, read the specific amendment.
Amendment number 30 by Mr. Urien. Page 30, between lines 25 and 26, insert purchase of AMU, $15,200,000.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like that to reflect $15,500,000, if you would correct that amendment.
A call to the amendment, please.
Speaker, Mr. Speaker, because I don't subscribe to Mr. Parr's philosophy of don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow, I would certainly urge that the members of this body adopt this amendment. I think the...
Mr. Naughton.
I did make the motion.
We do have a motion to go back to second reading. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I think we're all familiar with the AMU situation. It's been going on for a number of years now, and I think now is the time to resolve the problem once and for all, and I urge the members to return to second reading and adopt my amendment.
Question is, should the House return to second reading for a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Nine yeas, 31 nays.
The House has not returned to second reading. We are still in third reading. General debate. Mr. Huntington.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker, it's kind of foolish and silly for me to get up here and speak before you educated guys, especially on figures. You're talking about millions of dollars. I see in here where $642 million, or a little over that, you know, for appropriating the general fund for the budget. And over here on page 3, we see $1,312,974. Operation of state government. Am I right in figuring this? That is the cost of the operation of the state government from all funds available. Is this the operating cost? I'd like to have know that.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That figure includes the capital budget, the largest sum of which is the appropriation of federal funds for the highway construction in the state. And that portion of the budget, the capital budget, is spread over a 2 or 3 year period, although we're making the appropriation now. The operating expenditures of state government, according to committee substitute for House Bill 586 for fiscal 1977, would be $857 million in state and other funds combined. Total appropriation amount, including the capital items, though, is the number quoted by Mr. Huntington.
This is operating expenses over a 3 year period, or some of it is operating expenses over a 3 year period. So then we're operating. This is something, you know, that's been hidden from the public for a long time. First time I ever found out, you know, that it cost the state of Alaska over $1 billion a year to operate our government. I didn't realize that. It's good education for me. I think I'll go to school again if somebody accept me. But the thing is, you know, that we hide these figures from the public. Now, according to testimony by one of the people here this morning, is that we're coming out with $642 million from the general fund in this budget here. And I have no objection because I don't know what the hell it means. But at the same time, we're going to add more on to that. And I remember in the last couple of days here, we added $11 million in two bills that we passed, and I voted for them. But how far is this going to go? Are we going to end up with somewhere around $700 million? Is that a pretty close guess? Would anybody answer that for me?
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps for the total general fund portion of the operating budget for fiscal year 1977, that approximately $700 million would be a close guess. However, we have a considerable amount of federal funds, particularly coming into the state, which we also appropriate for the purposes of the people in the state. So on page one, you see the appropriations of general funds, which are derived from revenue sources basically within the state, tax monies. On page three, you see the total amount of the appropriations combining all funds. Might note on line eight, page three, where we see $1.3 billion in the total appropriation, although not all of that will be spent in fiscal year 77. In addition to that, of course, you would have to add the bond authorizations for now. I suppose we can use a figure that may eventually be appropriated of approximately $240 million. So there's no doubt that the government in Alaska is in big business, and for the operating budget alone in state and federal funds, either next year or certainly the year after that, we will break $1 billion.
Mr. Huntington.
Just one more question, and I'll get off your back. I don't mean to stay on your back. I'm just trying to find something out for myself, because I don't belong to no party, and nobody telling me these things. But how much of this general fund are we going in debt for, or that we've borrowed from ahead of time?
Mr. Malone?
Speaker, I'm not exactly sure what the what Mr. Huntington was referring to. If he's referring to our revenues from the reserves, which are credited against future production taxes on oil and gas, we're talking about, I believe the number is approximately $230 million.
Any other discussion? Mr. Liason.
I have one question. And somewhere in this document, does it relate an increase in taxes, which is part of this, make this balance, that we haven't passed yet, anticipating we're going to pass a tax bill of some type or other?
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are two necessary pieces of tax-related legislation pending in the legislature to balance this budget for fiscal year 1977. One of those is the formality of establishing the mill levy of 20 mils on the oil and gas ad valorem tax on the reserves. That has to be done on an annual basis. The other is a bill which would move the collection of the pipeline exploration and transportation tax into this fiscal year. Aside from those, which are really minor adjustments, one is a formality and the other is a minor adjustment in our tax collection date, the budget is not based on pending tax or other revenue bills. The state can go ahead and fund this budget without legislation for new taxes for the coming year. In It was the same approach that the legislature adopted last year, and I think, of course, the only responsible one would have to base your budget on those revenues. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Ewing.
On the other hand, Mr. Speaker, maybe someone can tell us how many pieces of legislation we have floating around here that will ultimately pass if they're going to cost us money. How much are we going to add to this on the body of this floor after the fact?
Any other discussion? Mr. Haugen.
Speaker, before this bill passes the House, I'd like to commend the Finance Committee for the hard work they've done, the members from both sides of the aisle. I think they've done an exceptional job of paring down the budget that the governor gave us. I certainly commend them for that. The point has been raised on this floor that actually a portion of this is, in a sense, borrowing future credits from the oil companies. And from a technical standpoint, Mr. Speaker, I think that's probably true. But I think then if we're going to be technical about it, we're going to have to be also realistic in our thinking. And we all recognize that if not this year, the next year, decision is going to be made that at the present time, the rate of taxation of the oil companies are not such that they're paying what at least I think a majority of this body and I think a majority of the people of Alaska feel is not yet up to their fair share. So if you're going to worry about the credit, I think you've also got to take into consideration the increased revenues that can be expected over the years to come. Overall, I find this a very commendable budget, and I, again, want to give credit on both sides of the aisle to the people who put in so many hours on it.
Any other, Mr. Urien?
Mr. Speaker, as long as we're commending people, I'd like to commend the Democratic Caucus for the budget they came out with. Certainly the capital budget is much more realistic than the one that we saw originally. Evidently, your caucus had much more foresight in appropriating the federal funds that were available to us, and I think you did a good job in your caucus.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, so many people have talked about the revenue measures that contribute to this budget and make it balanced that there's one thing I have to say. 27 of us arrived here last year having not sat in the legislature before. Or presented with a situation in which previous legislatures with coalitions of both parties and controlled by both sides of the aisle had been going through funds obtained from the bonus sale, particularly the previous legislature and certainly the one before that had revenue and cost projections showing that we're all going to run out of money. and we were going to be doing that around now or around this time last year. And yet it wasn't until the 9th legislature that we did something about it. And that's when we passed the oil and gas reserves tax, and that's why we have the budget before us that we have right now without violating the constitutional provisions against borrowing.
Question is, should committee substitute House Bill 586 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 5 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 586 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the committee substitute for House Bill 586 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There are no objections to order. And 586 has passed the House. Mr. Miller. Time to eat.
Amen, brother. Mr. Speaker, I am going to place a recess motion in a moment. I'll wait for just a second in case there's any announcements that anybody wants to make about Republican luncheons or anything else. We're too late. All right. Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body stand in recess till 1:30.
Without objection, we're in recess until 1:30. House coming to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, may I move and ask unanimous consent we revert to introduction of resolutions.
Without objection, we revert to introductions. Madam Clerk.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 137 by the Rules Committee, congratulating, honoring, and apologizing to Paul Roberts.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the resolution be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
Hearing no objection, the resolution be brought before us as a special order of business. Clerk, read the resolution by title.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 137 by the Rules Committee, congratulating, honoring, and apologizing to Paul Roberts.
House Concurrent Resolution 137 is before you for discussion. Mr. Urien. We may, if you wish. Do you wish it to be read?
Yes, I'd like to know what we're apologizing for.
The clerk read the resolution in its entirety.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 137 by the Rules Committee, congratulating, honoring, and apologizing to Paul Roberts. Be it resolved by the Legislature of the State of Alaska, whereas Paul Roberts, a newcomer to the State of Alaska from the 50th State of Hawaii, embarked on a 750-mile hike from Anchorage to Kino, Yukon Territory, which he completed in 36.5 days without the aid of any transportation aids. And whereas, in order to prove that as a Chichaco he could survive the rugged conditions of this great land, he entered into an agreement with 11 Alaskans that he would receive a total reward of $6,000 to be deposited with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police if he completed the trip in 48 days according to terms agreed upon. And whereas, upon completing his hike in full compliance with the terms and spirit of the agreement, Paul Roberts received only $2 and a note containing racial slurs against himself from the 11 Alaskans. And whereas it is the pride and tradition of Alaska to welcome newcomers who do not harm in any way our great land and respect our beautiful land as we Alaskans respect it and live for its fine offerings, and whereas Paul Roberts has not only suffered from unjust maliciousness and unforgivable racism, but he has also been denied deserving recognition for an accomplishment widely admired and highly esteemed by Alaskans, and whereas the injustices perpetrated by these individuals against Paul Roberts are considered an affront to all Alaskans who pride themselves on the Alaskan camaraderie and tradition of the sourdough and who disdain the abusive behavior of persons who do not respect their fellow men and Alaskans. Be it resolved that the Alaska State Legislature congratulates Paul Roberts for his great accomplishment in hiking through Alaska and Yukon Territory and for his apparent appreciation of the Alaskan wilderness. And be it further resolved that the legislature is outraged by the crude and crass behavior displayed towards Paul Roberts. And be it further resolved that the legislature apologizes to Paul Roberts on behalf of the people of Alaska for his mistreatment. And be it further resolved that the legislature is pleased to make Paul Roberts an honorary resident of Alaska. A copy of this resolution shall be sent to Paul Roberts.
Mr. Speaker, does anyone here know for sure that this gentleman wasn't paid? Or I'm other than what I hear on the radio or other members say, do we know this is a fact?
Mr. Smith. House will stand at ease. House come to order. Clerk have an amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Smith, Greening, Eliason, and Urien. Page 1, lines 16 and 19. Delete Alaskans. Insert individuals.
Mr. Smith.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 1.
Hearing no objection. Amendment's adopted. Is there any other discussion on the resolution? Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, if we pass this resolution, does that mean that we're sort of condoning all barroom bets, and from now on, anybody who reneges, they can come to us for aid?
Put a tax on it. Mr. Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I'm just curious, how much loot did we collect for this gentleman yesterday?
Mr. Miller?
Mr. Speaker, right at the moment, the fund stands at about $400, and just for the information of the body, I just talked to Mr. Roberts a few minutes ago because I wanted to know where we should send what will be a certified check for this amount, and for the information of the body, he'll be in Anchorage on Thursday, and we'll send it there. But he's extremely appreciative of the interest that this body has shown, extremely so, and I think it's done a tremendous lot to redeem his feeling for Alaskans.
Mr. Naughton.
Why are you going to send him the check? He'll walk almost anywhere for it.
Mr. Speaker, I hope...
Mr. Eliason.
I just certainly hope that we have the same feelings for our resident Alaskans as we do for this gentleman.
Mr. Anderson. Hope they mostly come from elsewhere. Question is, shall House is that a concurrent resolution?
It's a concurrent.
House concurrent resolution number 137 passed the House. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Resolution passes the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 920 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the legislative appropriation process. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 920 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Cooper, Greening, Haugen, Guy, Itta, and Naughton, having no recommendation, Duncan and Buchholz. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 920 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker and Naughton, having no recommendation, Miller, Specking, and Cotton. I have one amendment on my desk,
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
The House will be at ease. House come to order. Will the clerk read the first amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Eliason. Page 1, line 24. Delete 90th, insert 70th. Page 2, line 2. Add new material. 3. The legislature shall adjourn prior to the 90th day.
Mr. Eliason. Mr.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt amendment number 1.
Objections noted. Mr. Eliason, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, it seems that we're all aware of the time we waste and we go into session. There's many hours that we could devote to legislation and get out here at a reasonable time. I think, Mr. Speaker, that with strong leadership and good direction, we could wrap up a legislature in 90 days. We've done it in the past, and I think we can do it in the future. So I would move the amendment.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, of course, an amendment like that is good show business, but the actual facts are otherwise, as all of us here in this body know. Whatever time it takes, Sure, we can wrap the budget up and get out of here in 90 days, but then as we've found before, we have to come back for special sessions, or we do sloppy work that the rest of the state suffers from. You know, I don't have any question. We could turn out a document and run the gavel down, but we're not here. Our primary concern in being here is not to get out in 90 days. Our primary concern is to do a job for the people of Alaska. And I've noticed over the years that both parties, you know, live up to that primary concern, and there have. And I just think it's foolish for us to play around with legislation like this that, you know, that would set an arbitrary limit. All we would end up doing, of course, is having to change it later, and, you know, we all know it.
Question is, shall Amendment Number 1 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment Number 1 fails. Clerk, read Amendment Number 2.
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Specking. Page 1, line 18. Change established to recommended. Delete rest of sentence after the word resolution and insert a tentative plan stating the amount of general funds. Page 1, line 19. Delete the words shall be. Page 1, line 24. Change 90th to 75th.
Mr. Specking. Objections noted. Mr. Specking, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what I intend to do is to make try to bring some order and potential for success in the resolution. My initial reaction was that, hey, this won't work, and somewhere or another, the approach that I would have taken would have been to destroy. But sober reflection brought me the realization there was a great deal of merit to the to House Bill 920, and attempted to create the language that would make it possible. And what I'm saying is that by the course of the legislature shall have recommended by a resolution a tentative plan stating the amount of general fund available appropriation. In other words, I don't think that on the 40th day you're in any way able to lock yourself into a final figure. It's just an appeal. Then additionally, I believe that locking yourself into a 90-day delivery of what you think is up to law, I don't feel that it's either necessary, essential, or desirable. But I do believe that by the time you can say that I can accomplish the delivery of the question one house. And very simply, by the time you do it, I have asked the body of the House of Members.
Specking, the chair is having trouble inserting your amendment into the bill. You say you call for the deletion of the rest of the sentence, and yet on line 19, call for the insertion of some more words. You may, sir. Confused by the language at the beginning that says delete rest of sentence after the word recommend.
Speaker, I see and I understand that confusion. I should not read that in a way. It should read the rest of sentence on line 18.
Could we stand at ease and perhaps correct the
on line 18 with the condition that
it should read the rest of the sentence on line 18.
Yes.
correct the you may, sir.
By the 45th legislative day, the legislature shall have recommended by resolution a tentative plan stating the amount of general funds available for appropriation in the General Appropriations Act for 100 years.
So, any discussion, Mr. Miller?
Speaker, could I request and ask the Minority Leader, if he would agree to splitting the question.
I believe I can concur with the first half. I think I would like to vote no on the changing the 90th day to 75.
And if there is no other objection, the amendment will be separated and deleting the portion that refers to the 90th and 75th day. And I will ask the clerk to reread the amendment in that context.
Page 1, line 18. Change established to recommended. Delete rest of sentence on line 18 after the word resolution and insert a tentative plan stating the amount of general funds. Page 1, line 19. Delete the words shall be.
Does everybody understand? Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this bill is to is not to recommend tentative plans. The purpose of the bill is to establish the limit of the budget, which will be considered by the legislature in a given session. I think that the language ought to be mandatory. We could go in right now and pass resolutions left and right and just change them later on in the session to suit us. I think the language ought to be strong. And while I will address remarks to the bill in general later on, I object to watering down the bill in this way.
Mr. Speckie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent is noble, but the results ain't practical. There's no way on earth that you're going to allow the contingencies that occur after the 45th day, time on end, this legislation. And, for example, what are you going to reduce by
Miller.
Speaker, there's a couple other problems too. I question the legal problems. This bill, of course, is perfectly legal, but it would be just as legal if we adopt the language as without amendment. It would be just as legal later on in another session after the 45th day to pass a bill that exceeds it, because in the statute it's the latest 21 votes that counts. So no matter how strong the language is in here, it's not legally binding unless we were, for instance, put this in the form of a constitutional amendment, which the people then would vote on. And then, if that were the case, we could not under any circumstances. But I wouldn't recommend that, Mr. Speaker, any more than I really recommend the original language in here. A good case in point, I think, is the AMU emergency. Here it is, whatever it is, the 103rd, 4th day, whatever we're on. And at the 45th day, I don't think we anticipated any, the sort of dollars that we're talking about in regards to AMU. Our hands would be totally tied under this legislation if the legislation was indeed binding. But as a matter of fact, I get back now to my original point. I don't think it is binding, and therefore I really don't like to play like it is.
Mr. Greeney.
Mr. Speaker, the problem I have with the majority leader's logic on this is that we would never could adjourn, because no matter when we adjourn, there'd always be some other priorities that we'd missed. The longer we stay in session, the more priorities will appear to us, and the more unforeseen circumstances will arise. Other states, of course, approach it in different ways. Utah, for example, has a constitution, but constitutionally has a 30-day and a 60-day session in alternate years. They come up initially within 5 days of the amount they're going to spend, and then they legislate the priorities within that time frame. I'm not advocating that, and I think that this course is not going to put it in the Constitution. But no matter what limit we state, we're going to have to adjourn at some point and be facing priorities that will arise later. Those are taken care of usually either by a supplemental the next year if it's really warranted, unforeseen circumstances, or by taking care of it in the next year's budget. But what I think this bill will do, unamended that is to get us to really address priorities right away rather than watching them crowd and try to fit in the very end what we have to do within the money amount. Of course, AMU itself has been with us for some time, and it's not an emergency. Some of the emergencies that we might be facing, of course, would be like the Nome disaster, and that we can't foresee that. That's something that's going to occur regardless of when we adjourn or when we set this priority. So I urge the body to defeat the first part of that amendment.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, what we're really talking about here is an operating budget, how much money it takes to run the governmental operations throughout the course of a given fiscal year. We're not talking about emergencies. The history of emergency appropriations in this body has been that they're made separately from the budget. That in fact, when Nome, for instance, required an appropriation in the last session, we didn't stick it in the budget. We got out a bill right away. And those emergencies, when as and if they arise, they can be taken care of by separate bills as they always have been in the past.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I guess that's part of what I'm worried about. I think if this does become law and we go through the motions of observing it, that instead of shortening the session, we're going to have a series of one-item budget bills, after we put the formal budget bill to bed. In a sense, this legislation, Mr. Speaker, reminds me of a bill that used to be on the books, and you'll remember it, of course, prior to the 7th legislature, where after the 90th day, supposedly the legislator's per diem ceased. And, of course, we came up to the 90th day, and it was obvious that we still had the people's work to do. That was the legislature in which we first addressed the monumental task of what we were going to do to protect the people's oil resource. And it was obvious we couldn't get out in 90 days, and so we did the obvious thing. We just repealed that bill. And I'm afraid this is just, although this is a slightly different situation, I think it's of the same type of legislation, and it's, I just don't like, I don't think we're trying to kid the public, but I think maybe we're trying to kid ourselves, and I just hate to see us doing that.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller, would you take the chair? I'd like to comment on this, too.
May we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House standard.
House, come back to order. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, I am in favor of the strongest version of this bill, and I oppose the first divided portion of the amendment as presented by Mr. Specking. If you look at something, even if you do assume that some emergency or unforeseen matter like AMU would be normally considered within the budget, you have to figure out that $15 million is less than 2.5% of our operating budget. And we have seen an awful lot of pushing and pulling and trading done within the House Finance Committee and in the Free Conference Committee on the budget previously. And you can always pick up a few pieces here and there and accommodate something like this. And I think it weakens the bill because the bill helps to kind of create a presumption and an incentive, and it's the sort of thing that would help future legislatures, and I oppose the amendment.
Mr. Speaker Bradner.
Speaker, I think the amendment, in my view, doesn't quite go far enough. I think I have my problem with the next line of the bill that reads, the general fund appropriation ceiling set by the resolution shall not be exceeded. Mr. Speaker, I question whether, this legislature, in any event, no matter what kind of statute they pass, is going to prove effective in binding a future legislature. In fact, Mr. Speaker, I'm inclined to think they incur the resentment of that future legislature by even the suggestion of that fact. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, in any event, a court of law wouldn't touch such a legal question, I think, with a 10-foot pole. So I really don't think we're kidding each other. No longer than a court of law will touch a violation of our rules or rules which we insert within the statute, but rather treat it as an automatic suspension of your rules or those provisions which you have placed upon yourself. Now, as I understand the way the courts view internal legislative action, that is a fact, unless you wish to put it in constitutional law, in which it is binding. And that's going into sudden death playoff. And there may be times I think that's maybe necessary for the body politic to put itself in that position. Mr. Speaker, I commend, I think, where the resolution is pointing towards. And in this day of public concern with spending, I'm sure we'd like to all go home and say that we did something of this nature, something to try to mature the body in terms of the way it views fiscal issues. And the amendment, I think, is pointed in the right direction and perhaps meeting the reality that's really here. Mr. Speaker, I would favor, I think, the conversion of the resolution, sort of as an extension of the amendment, to a point in which what we do is we challenge ourselves and challenge future legislatures to, in fact, set an appropriations ceiling by a certain date and try to meet it. And Mr. Speaker, I know this year the governor has set for us an appropriation ceiling for bond issues. And of course, we quickly fell into the pattern of arguing whether that was or was not, in fact, an appropriate ceiling. And while we are trying to work within a ceiling, we have a pretty hard time doing it. And while Mr. Speaker, a executive in this case, has articulated his ceiling, and we perhaps have not, I suggest what we really mean in the body politic of setting that ceiling is that that's our target date, and we're going to try to hit it. But Mr. Speaker, I think if the